What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Continue Creating Show. My name is Matthew with MatthewCreating.com. I got special guest today, Lifton Noise, and I want to welcome him to the show. He's got a YouTube channel. He does poetry, makes beats with the NPC, does tutorials on there. So I want to give a warm welcome to Lifton Noise. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks, Matthew. I appreciate you having me on, man. I appreciate just having this conversation. It's cool, man. It's cool to meet you. It's cool to see. I feel like I'm doing a performance now because we just had that talk.
It's but, all good, man. We'll get listened up, man. I just wanted to let you welcome you because this is like the first time that we actually talk face to face. But I know we commented and, you know, chatted here and there. And,
yeah. Like I said, yeah. Just seeing you in videos with other people as well, like the King O Caesar, like having that live stream chat with him. It just feels like it's just familiar, you know, so it's interesting. I mean, you know.
Yes, sir. So,
but yeah, appreciate it, man.
Yeah. So, like, how did you even come up with your, like, just your name in general, just so people are aware?
Well, I kind of vaguely remember. No big story. I think I've gone through different names for, like, artist names, like maybe a lot of people have. But it's not necessarily an artist name. The idea for Lifton Noise just came from me wanting to create actually instruments that I could, you know, sell. I've always had like this kind of hustler mentality. I think it runs in the family. Like my mom owns a business. My family, which is from Costa Rica, they had businesses. Like my auntie, when I went to visit, she has a couple of, what do you call them, souvenir shops. And like I've always been like trying to find ways to make some money, I think, just maybe from growing up around it. So when I went out to Costa Rica, there are some items that I liked that I thought were really cool that I could bring back and sell. And so I had my auntie talk to the guy who made them. And there were these, like, they do a lot of carved, you know, handmade things and like painted things. So she had these like really nice tobacco pipes, and they had like animals carved into them and painted. And then they had Costa Rica engraved on them. So I asked her if she could go to the maker of those and have him engrave the city that I live in, because I thought, you know, that might be a nice thing. So I brought them back and I went to like little smoke shops and sold them, and I've sold them on eBay. And eBay is probably the biggest thing for me, is where I've tried to, you know, sell items. So trying to bring this back to what the question was is, initially I wanted to sell something that was related to, you know, my main interest, and that was music. And so I started making sample packs, like on actually physical, like CF cards, back when I had like my first NPC was the 1000 and the 500. So back, the functionality with those prior to like the newer stuff, where you actually have dedicated key groups where you can just put a sample in or a couple samples in and have it almost automatically pitch it across the keyboard. You'd have to do a little bit more and like actually assign them to every single pad and then, you know, pitch them up or pitch them down. And so, you know, I just made these little packs, so you would have that, also have that ability. But my thought was to have, you know, do like kind of the vinyl feel. So have that lifted kind of sound or that noise, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And be able to create more freely rather than only sampling. Although sampling is a big hip hop thing, it's a big influence on me, and I love doing that. It's always been my intent to be able to create original music. So I wanted to make something that you could do use for that. So hence Lifton Noise, lifted from vinyl, lifted in a couple senses, stolen, you know, like you take something, actually physically lifted. But I think it's, that's initially what it was. And I think it's kind of just taking on new meaning now, because that's not really the direction that if you've seen my YouTube channel, it's not really where it's at solely, although I've been working on creating some sample packs. It's not even my best skill, I think, but I'm working on it. And, you know, I got my Patreon now where I do create some samples or try to make some layered drum samples and create some key groups that I can provide. And I've just been using that as a practice. So that's pretty much like what I could say about the beginning of the name.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Just so we have some background. Yeah, I think it's cool that you brought up the NPC 500. I was watching your NPC 500 video. And we were just literally recording the noise the inputs, and you were making drums out of the noise.
Yeah, pretty much out of thin air. Yeah,
out of thin air. Yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a fun one. Cool. So, right on.
No, I was gonna say my first MPC was the 1000.
Oh, was it? Cool.
Like when you could buy it at Guitar Center, and it was like $1,000.
Yeah.
And I bought it from Guitar Center.
Did you have that red and gray version when it first came out?
I did. It was the black. It was the black one. Yeah. Yeah. And they made
some improvements on that.
Yeah.
The black one.
They like the pads are better. Like they lasted longer, I believe.
Yeah.
The black one. But I bought it new. I bought it new from the store, and I brought it home, and I would kind of record things into it. Like I had a Casio keyboard. It's just a generic like Casio, like $100 keyboard. Actually, my nephew has it right now. But I would record sounds from that into there. And I know what you're talking about. Like I would record, like you could have different pitches on the keyboard, right? But I would use like a drum program and then have the different pitches on the different pads.
Right. You'd have to use the drum program. There wasn't any other kind of program within the MPCs, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't remember it either, because I remember doing that, because I haven't had a 1000 in like over 10 years, right? But I remember doing that as well, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. Now, was the MPC your first start into making music, or were you using something else prior to that?
As far as computer music, I was doing trackers. I don't know if you know what trackers are.
No, that's one I haven't heard of.
So the new trackers they have out, I forget what it's called, but there's a new standalone tracker that someone makes now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know what you're referring to. The Polyan tracker is one that sticks out that I've seen.
I think that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, what, $500 or $600 or something?
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then I had that, but before that, it was a DOS program. So it was a Fast Tracker 2. Was the first thing I used digital, and you would take samples. Okay. It was basically a sampler. Like it was basically like so when I got the MPC, I thought about it as a tracker. So you would take samples, like you would take the different drum samples and you would program them in. It was almost like the list editor in the MPC.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's one thing I don't use really, but that's interesting.
But it was on a grid though. So it was more comprehensible than the list editor. Because the list editor is just like everything's just stacked. But on the tracker is like there's a spot for everything. It's almost like grid view, but it was horizontal.
Yeah, that's kind of – that would be quite a switch up, like a learning curve, I think.
Yeah.
Like it sounds a bit confusing. Where do you – was it built in? Did it teach you how to do it? Or did you have to like go and find tutorials?
I just experimented. No, I don't – there was no YouTube or anything.
Yeah, I was kind of early for those.
Yeah, so I would just experiment. Nobody showed me how to do it. That's how I got into the music on the computer. But before that, I was in live bands, you know, drumming. Like my first instrument was violin, and then it was guitar when I turned 12, and I was in bands through high school. But then when I got out of high school, I needed to find a way to get a drummer, so I bought the MPC 1000 to be my drummer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got into the MPC.
Okay. So you went from Fast Tracker to MPC.
Yep.
So went from this kind of up and down thing to left to right.
Yeah. And at 1000, it wasn't even like, it was just like what you programmed in there. It wasn't, the 1000 didn't have the grid at it.
Well, true. Yeah, that's true.
So it was different. But it was funny because the 2500 had the grid editor where you could change the notes.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now that might have came later with, I don't remember that unless, because I know JJ operating system.
They added that like to all the 1000.
Yeah.
And then I got the JJ OS. I eventually got that. And then, it did add the grid to it where you could change the notes. If you made a mistake, it was a lot easier.
That made it pretty amazing with that. That was an exciting time when all that stuff started coming out, like the possibilities. And then they actually brought instrument programs so you could do everything with a lot more ease. But yeah, that's really cool.
Absolutely.
For me, that's cool. You say you played instruments, but for me, like, I think I never had the patience. Like my mom tried to put me in a piano course and I just wanted to play Mozart, but I had to play Mary Had a Little Lamb kind of deal, and I had no patience. When I was like 12, I think she got me an electric guitar, and I would just make noise, literally. So I think in my mind, I just overall wanted to make the whole picture. And so that's why the MPC, or just, you know, beat making software in general, was like appealing to me, because I could do the whole band kind of thing. But and for me, the first thing I was messing around with music was FL Studio. So I was on a computer before I started using the MPC, and that was fun. I had really no concept of music at all. It was just all over the place kind of sound, but it was fun and it was addictive and I loved it, and I'd spend hours on it at a time, and I'd, you know, burn little CDs and go out in the car and just listen to them. And that's all it was in the bedroom, back and forth to the car, just listening to the beats. And then,
So it's like when you, like every computer, like you could get the CD burner on your computer, right? And you could burn it to a CD.
Yeah, definitely.
And then throw it out. Yeah. I was listening to a CD yesterday. I was showing, or Friday night, Sunday today.
Really?
Of an old, it was called Hap in the Making. Because that was my nickname back then, was Hat. And it was just, it was like just a bunch of crazy random songs that I just burnt on a CD.
That's crazy. A trip back in time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think all my stuff is gone. Like I can't really look back too much. And like all the I didn't take care of my CDs. I just threw a bunch of CDs away. But you know what? They're all like burnt CDs. You know, you make those. Yeah, so, you know, it wasn't legit.
Right.
I haven't listened to a CD in, years. You know, everything. I just stream everything on YouTube pretty much. So.
Yeah, me too. I got YouTube Music because I play for YouTube Premium, so I don't have to watch ads.
Yeah.
And I use YouTube Music because it comes with it. And, same thing. I use that a lot because I got the Apple Play in the car now. I just plug my phone into it. And in the car, you can stream it. It's pretty cool how Apple Play shows up in the car. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't have any Apple products other than like a MacBook. I use Android devices and stuff. So
Android has a similar thing. I don't forget what it's called, Android Play or something. But it shows, you got to have like, I think you have to have like a bigger screen stereo for it to work. And then plug it in and everything shows up. It was fun, you know, burning the CDs and listening to stuff like that. But now I just email it to myself. Like if I make a song, I'll email it. I'll be like, oh, I want to listen to this in the car. Send it to my email and then download it on my phone.
Yeah.
And you could just listen to it like that now.
Yeah, that's cool. That's an idea. I usually just email stuff to me, to myself as well, if I need it like in a different location. But I'm not doing much of that playing it out in the car anymore. I don't know why. I'm not finishing enough stuff. You know, I'm not, I don't know. I'm not standing behind my work. I'm just figuring it out. I think still just,
I hear that.
I think that's what my channel has kind of been becoming, is more about like just figuring it out, try to make some money and fund, you know, my passion and what I enjoy doing. So I don't know. Just the latest excuse to not like finish work, you know? So do you have stuff that's like, have you put a lot of music out?
No,
because I could say I have not put a single piece of music out on DistroKid whatsoever. Although I've had DistroKid.
Yeah.
They sponsored a video, gave me a free account. I don't know if they're charging me now. I don't know how that works. If it like renews on itself, but I haven't put a single piece of music out yet. Working towards, YouTube's my thing right now.
Though, because you show music you're making on YouTube.
Yes, I do. I show the process, and I think it's a process, like a learning process, and me just, you know, you guys get to see most of what I do. And
which I'm is awesome. We get that. To ride along with the journey, and I know that you've even put like poetry on some of your beats and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, for sure. Because that's what I want to do. I mean, I want to have a whole piece of music with lyrics and all that. Now, I'm not interested really in putting out beat tapes, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
No.
So, I'm in the same boat with you right there.
Yeah.
Like I will put out beat tapes, but what I want to do, So I want to share, I'm kind of like in the same boat, like I want to share the process of making like an EP. So that's my next project. I want to make an EP, and I want to like do videos showing the process.
Awesome. And that's kind of what my thought is with the rhythm and poetry. That's what I'm calling it. The little series is where I do, it's just a rap at this point, but I want to kind of expand it. So to show the rhythm part, the process of making the beat. So far, I've been using other people's beats for the most part.
Okay.
Because, you know, honestly, my own beats that I make, I don't think that I've developed the sound that I've been, you know, I think you kind of picture a sound in your mind, and I don't feel like I'm exactly there yet. Most of the time, my own beats don't inspire lyrics from me. That's just like being honest with myself. They don't. And so far I've just been using, you know, I've used Tupac beats, used a beat from her. I've used a producer's beat that I've met online, which is really cool. I would like to do more of that too. I think that would be a future of my channels, being able to bring and show other people's music and stuff. But yeah, I want to kind of like everything just kind of comes down to just showing the whole process of making the beat and then like writing lyrics and recording it and doing stuff based off of that. And once I get those things completed, I can start, you know, distributing them as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's up, man. So it's still like refining the process, kind of.
I think so. I think I always develop a new excuse. I always develop a new excuse for myself. But yeah, you know, because before doing YouTube, it's always been about refining the sound. And like, you know, I've heard a lot of beat makers and artists kind of come with the same mentality that I've shared. Isn't, you know, it's just not ready. You know, I'm working on this, perfecting it. So yeah, I'm just trying to do and share as much as I can. So whether I think it's great or not, you know, it's coming out and it's going to be in a video or something. So yeah.
I hear you, because I'm kind of like in the same kind of boat, right? Because, I have like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of beats, right? Hundreds of like, even a lot of songs that I've like stretched out, and like I took a beat, made into a song, and like figuring out the process and everything. But if you look at my Spotify, I actually have songs on Spotify released, and I actually just was like, I'm just going to put something out. Like I took just a random thing and like put it out just for the experience of doing it, you know, just one song.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I did a three song, like kind of EP, and I put it out. And then that EP, like, it's pretty, like, I could have kept working on and doing a lot of things. But that EP, when I uploaded it, I uploaded the wrong masters. So, if you listen to it, like, the bass is real low.
Oh, no.
And then, because I didn't put the right ones up. Like, because it was, like, the one before the final one.
And you can't go back and replace that?
I tried. I don't think I gave it enough time to take it down, because I re-uploaded it on DistroKid, and then it said it got it and then everything like that, but I don't hear a difference. So I don't know if I gave it enough time to take the old ones down. I think you have to take them down for like a month. I was watching a video that Pete Johns did with Studio Live Today, and he said, like, he did it. He re-uploaded a song, but he took it down for a few weeks to make sure it was off all the streaming platforms first. And then you just keep that code that comes with it, that DistroKid gives you, is like a code that keeps track of how many listens it gets.
Yeah.
If you keep that code, you can re-upload it under that same code.
Oh, okay. See, that's all stuff that, you know, I got to learn about.
It's the journey, though. You know, I was like, I just got to put something out.
Yeah, and, you know, yeah, I was trying to remember something you said just triggered an idea, you know, and that's because you said just put it out just to see what happens.
Yeah.
And I think that's what works the best for me as well, because it just comes down to, like, challenging myself and putting it out there. Like, if I say it and I say it on a video, it's like I've created an accountability for myself. How do you feel about that? Does this help? Does doing YouTube for you, does it create an accountability? Like, where you say something, you got to hold your word to you? You know what I mean? That's how I feel like it works for me a little bit.
So I try not to make too many promises.
Right.
Because in my day to day, like I'll think I'm going to do something and I won't do it. So I don't want to put it out there like I'm going to do it and then change my mind. And people are like, well, you said that. You said you're going to do that. But right. Like if I don't think I'm going to do it for myself, like be true to myself, then I won't say it, you know? But if I really am going to like think right. I'm going to do it, like that's what I'm going to do with this EP I'm going to come out with. Like I'm right, going to be like, I'm going to release an EP. What's that?
It's something that you want to do. I mean, I think there's a difference between saying something you're going to do that you're not so interested in.
Right.
But there's some hesitation. Like for me, for example, what I just said doesn't always ring true, because what I've said on my channel, I've said it, is that I'm going to focus more on just vocal kind of song, lyric, recording in the MPC, straight vocals kind of content. And I haven't lived up to that. But I feel like there's a fear and some hesitation in me just focusing on that. So I don't know where that train of thought is necessarily going, but I think there's a difference. Like you said, you want to put out an EP. That's something I want to do as well. And I don't know. It's probably just like kind of like organization and planning and stuff. And if you have a clear thought of what you want to do and what the steps are, then you're going to do it. But if you don't, you know what I mean? Yeah.
At this point, you probably have a few songs you could probably throw together and like release, but I want to do the whole process, and I want to like show like, okay, I'm going to get the idea. Like, why am I doing this EP? How many songs do I want to do on it? Like, what is the time frame that I want to complete it in? Yeah. And I kind of want to plan it out, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
and try to get a clearer vision of what I want to do with it.
Exactly. That's the path for success. Because when you don't have those defined, what I don't know what the word for it is. Like you said, this is, you want to get it done in this certain amount of time. If you leave those things like open, then you're just going to keep procrastinating, which is what I'm doing right now. So, yeah. So is that something you're going to do, like document?
You wanna
do a whole like kind of vlog series where you record the whole process? That sounds awesome.
As much like as I can, yeah.
Yeah. That's how I like to think of YouTube, is like as a container where you create these ideas. That's kind of been my process. Like I have an idea, I almost create like a thumbnail, and that kind of makes it a reality. And then from there, you know, I'll write out a description or whatever it is, and then it becomes like a more tangible thing. You know what I mean? And it kind of inspires me more. So that makes me think of what you're saying. It's like you're kind of creating a spot, like a place. Like your YouTube channel is a container, right? You put content in it. Mm-hmm. So it's a container for everything that that's inside of you when you're trying to get out. So I think that's a really, really dope idea. That's what I've been aiming to do with the YouTube channel this whole time. Just really it be about filling this space of a series of, I guess, choices and trials and experiences of trying to, but I feel like I've fallen short from that. But anyways, I think that's inspiring what you're saying. So.
Right. That's kind of like, what do you want your YouTube channel to be? I guess, because like my YouTube channel is heavily like education material.
Mm-hmm.
As less, I haven't been posting a lot of my own stuff, and sometimes I do post things here and there. And I think I just want to, you know, post more of my own stuff. I want to start posting more of my own stuff, you know, maybe like make a tutorial video here and then post the next video be like my own stuff and then maybe another tutorial and then my own stuff, like kind of like switch it up a little bit.
Yeah. That's definitely been my same sentiment. I kind of moving towards that.
That's what's up. And then even your own stuff, like you could teach, okay, from your own, like songs,
right.
So kind of mixing the worlds, which I think is great.
Yeah, and I got a lot of that. You know, I think early on I discovered, you know, that having those educational kinds of videos and tutorials are, that's where the audience is at, because everyone wants to do their own thing, right? They want to have the tools to do their own thing. It's like, that's what's relatable, is that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to do this for myself. And so that's where the audience is. And I think that's like I think I was saying earlier, some of the hesitation to focus on my own thing, because at the same time, I'm trying to grow the YouTube channel and have an audience and have a way of supporting what I want to do. So there is, like you're saying, that's a good strategy to have that balance. Like you could display your own work and then from it have some kind of element of it to teach.
Right.
Have some balance. But I think that's been an issue for me, just finding that balance. But you're saying a lot of true stuff that's a good strategy that I've kind of popped up in my head as well. So I look forward to seeing you do something like that, you know? I mean,
right on.
Paving a way. You're paving a way. I mean, you're in this and like we're all in kind of a similar lane and you're really doing it. So that's, you know, it's inspiring to see, especially when I seen that post where you say you're going full time. And that's, man, yeah. I felt joy in my heart to see you say that, you that's know, because up. It's inspiring. It's what we want, you know?
Yeah.
I think a lot of us can relate to that. So, yeah, man, that's awesome. And,
you know, I do enjoy educating. And then, like, if I didn't have educational material, if I just started out, I'm just putting out my own music all the time, like, I wouldn't be at the level I'm at with my YouTube channel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but it's like I came from, okay, well, now that I did quit my job and I, you know, I'm able to make money from my YouTube channel and teaching people, I can then take that other time that I was working and then like kind of allocate it towards making more music, if that makes sense.
Exactly.
And then the music I make is going to be more in line with just, it's like, I'm not making it for like a record label or for, I just want to make the music I want to make. You know what I'm saying? So it's not dependent on making money, if that makes sense. Yeah. So I can make whatever.
Exactly. I mean, I would love that too. I mean, I'd love to not think about the money at all, you know, but.
Right. But it's just the reality of the world.
The reality is, yeah. So that's how I look at it, is like, you know, I need something to support myself to have the time to do it. Exactly what you're saying. So you can just start creating using the free time that you have now away from the other job that you had previously to create more. And that's exactly the end goal, because that, you know, music is just a therapeutic thing, an outlet. And I feel more at peace when I'm creating, you know?
Yeah.
I feel anxious and just frustrated when I can't. So I think I'm kind of an extreme person, and I think that works out for being a creator, or like a YouTube creator, is having kind of an extreme mentality, because like it's like all or nothing pretty much. Like I'm going mad, pulling out my hair. I can't just have 15 minutes of the day and create something. You know, I want the full, at least a full 8-hour day creating. Right. And then I can be at peace and then give, you know, time to everything else that requires time, you know, relationships, family and stuff. Like, I just hate that my mind is like divided, because then I'm like, I can't give the quality time, even when the time is there with my family, like my kids and my girl and stuff. Like,
yeah, but that's something that, like, now that I do have a little bit more freedom, I got it. It's still like, I have to, like you're saying, like, still have to like create deadlines almost. Like, I want to release an EP in 90 days, but it's not like, but it's my own creation. It's not like, you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, well, a record label's telling me to do something. It's like, I want to make an EP. I want to figure out a way that I can do it and actually complete it, you know, and have it good. Yeah, because it's like I'm in a kind of an in between world right now. It's like I still have to quote unquote. It's like I don't have to do anything, right? I could go for a walk or whatever, but in my head, I want. It's like I kind of made my desires like a. I still want to do it. Like it's such, like my desire to make tutorial videos is so strong that it's like almost a have to, you know what I mean? It's like I want to make videos and I want to bring people with me like on this ride. And like, I don't know. I just enjoy conversating with people like you and, you know, the King of Caesar and like different people and I Am Sight and just talking about the journey and like, cause we're all like on the, like this kind of journey together. Yeah. I don't know. That's kind of how I see it.
On the tip you were saying about, you say you have a strong desire to create tutorials, but you also said something about like feeling obligated or like you have to.
It's like, it's not that I have to. It's because it's very tricky because it's like stuff I think about, but I don't ever talk about. It's like I want to do it because like when I was in high school, when I was thinking about, okay, what am I going to do? Like, what am I going to go to college for? Like one of the things I wanted to go to college for, like I originally wanted to go for is to teach people how to make music. Like I wanted to go get a degree in music composition and music education.
Yeah. And maybe do that like in a lot, in a real, like a real setting, like a classroom setting.
Classroom, possibly. Exactly. Like even out of high school or something.
Yeah.
But now it's like a different world. So it's not like, it's not like I have to. It's like a weird, it's like finding the mindset. It's like, I want to help people. I want to do it, but the desire is so strong. It's almost like my like a purpose. It's like, I want to help people. I don't want to just be like a rich rock star or something and then like make lots of money and then blow it. And then I'm poor the next day. And like, I didn't help anybody. Like what was the point of it?
Right. I feel that what you just said. I think ultimate purpose is found in helping people. Right. I mean, you can't look at any business, you know, because if we're going to look at this as a business that doesn't give to somebody in some way, some kind of value, like you can't just have a business model where you just steal from people like that. That's not, I mean, you get the point what I'm saying. Mm-hmm, it's like everything is based off of a value that you give to someone else. Like, yeah, that's how you find purpose. It's a good feeling to be able to help people. I enjoy doing that as well. Answering, you know, comments and when people got questions on how to do something, you know, so
yeah. And you feel good though, like you I'm sure you probably like answered a question and they're like, oh yeah, thanks, you know, they probably respond back, and that's a good feeling. Like, oh yeah, I actually helped like a person, you know.
It's rewarding in itself, right? Because I mean, we've all been in either position, like where we had a question we needed answered. Like I still do it to this day. You know, I just bought a new piece of gear. I'm going to show it. I'm going to talk about it right now. But I've been researching and watching tutorials and asking questions. And like, you know, you don't always get it right away. But when someone hits you with like a nice, clear answer, it's like, thank you. Right. So like, yeah, I know both ends, you know. So yeah, it's a good feeling. And there's purpose found in that, you know, just giving, man. We can't take nothing with us when we die. I mean, that's old wisdom, right? So, I mean, it's all about what you give and leave behind. So,
right. Definitely. And there's an exchange that happens. Like, you help somebody out. It's just kind of like a natural design of, like, human nature. Like, we're designed to help people. We're rewarded for it, like, internally.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think I think everything has a purpose. I think as people, we're kind of like, we're off in a way because we always look at, like, the individual or the selfish thing is like off, and we don't praise that. We praise like what's the selfless person or act and stuff. And that's because it's just what's natural, that everything has a purpose and its inner workings to make a whole kind of, you know, work. And that's, I think that's by design. Like everything, you just look outside in nature and stuff, you know,
for sure.
The trees providing what we need to breathe, and what we breathe is what they need, and this and that and all, you know. It's all a beautiful thing. It's all for love, really.
Yeah, for sure. It's all connected some way, somehow. Because I get my share of negative comments, right? And hate, like people emailing me saying I don't deserve to make videos on the MPC. And I'm like, well, what really qualifies you to make a video on the MPC? Yeah. And like different things like this. But then when I go through the comments and I get emails and I see, thank you, like people saying thank you, I'm just like, well, I'm doing it for that person that's saying thank you. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing it for this guy that's like telling me I shouldn't do it. Like what?
And that's a horrible attitude. Right. Because like, I mean, if you don't like what I'm doing, what are you doing? You know, why don't you go and do it better or do it the way that you would want it done? You know,
for sure.
I mean, everyone has the ability. Everyone has this tool called YouTube to get on and do what they want. You know, if you want something done your way or the right way, and you got to do it yourself. Otherwise, you know, not everything is just about you. So that individual who's feeling negative about something, it's I don't know, his opinion doesn't really matter. I mean, if you could be a little more constructive rather than negative, correct, then you could receive it in a better way. And you right, I've gotten those, and I love those, you know?
Like, yeah, those are great.
Yeah, I mean, because that's how we help each other, you know? Help me help you out a little bit better. So all those positive comments are great, you know? Makes me think of this book that I'm reading right now. Really, I'm listening to it on Audible.
Right.
It's called Steal Like an Artist. Have you checked it out? but it talks about these kinds of things and how to deal with criticism, and talks about keeping a praise file. So he okay, like has like I guess like a thing where he saves all the positive comments.
And that's smart.
He says pretty much what you said. You know, it's about those people, and, you know, not really the other stuff, because that's a distraction, or it's just someone having a bad day. You know,
that has happened too, and people like I have a specific video where at the beginning of it, I kind of rushed through it, right? It's a teaching video, but I was like, I just want to show this little step. But then I wanted to get into the music making, right? So I kind of mm-hmm, rushed through the beginning part because I was like, okay, people could watch through this. And then somebody was like, this is a tutorial, and like starts cussing at me and like, why, you know, I can't, you're going too fast, blah, blah, blah. Huh. And I was like, you know, I was like, thanks for the feedback. You know, thanks for the feedback. You know, I hope you have a blessed day or whatever, what have you. And then he got back to me like the next day, and he was like, oh, I'm sorry, I was just having a bad day at work or whatever. And, you know, I didn't really mean, you know, stuff like that. And I was like, you know, sometimes people are having a bad day, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we're all human, right?
Yeah. And back to that whole connectivity thing. That's funny you bring up the whole like the rush thing, because one of my latest videos, I got a comment like that. It's like, well, what's with the rush, you know? And I didn't even perceive that it came off rushed like that. But I know that I was rushed when I made the video, because
right,
I've been struggling to make videos and stuff. And I got my family back here. I was trying to make a video and get something out, because it's been a while.
Right.
And it's interesting though, because it felt like a lot of things like that week were telling me to slow down and stuff. Like I'd be in my car and I'm driving too fast, and like I almost hit somebody or something like that, you know? Or like I'm at the store, I went to get lunch and it took longer than usual. Like there's a line, and then this girl drops like a whole tea, like a gallon of tea. And it's like, it feels like something's trying to tell me something. And I don't know if there's anything to that, but just like, it's interesting. It made me think of that story. So, yeah. But yeah, man, I mean, there's always more to,
but
I mean, I think it takes even just a little bit of faith just to get going, you know, with anything. I mean, it's a leap of faith. I mean, when you start this, like when you started, I'm sure it is with everyone. It's slow. You don't see results. It's not, it's faith in a way, because really when it comes down to it, that's love. And, you're not doing it necessarily for any return. That's the whole connectivity thing. That's that love thing. Everything's got a purpose. You do it because you have a purpose, and you know, it's almost like if you live that purpose, it's going to take care of you.
That's exactly it. That's the feeling that I've been going through, like that process of understanding that, like the past few months, like I don't have to worry. Like I don't have to worry. Like, if I'm living my purpose, and it takes faith, it takes like tremendous amount of faith, right? But if you're living your purpose, like what you're put on this planet to do, right? That purpose is going to take care of you. If you do it intellectually, like obviously you got to do certain things, right? You got to turn on monetization on your YouTube channel.
Yeah,
you
know what I'm saying?
You got to set up gateways.
You got to take action, you know? Faith without works is dead. Like you got to act.
Right.
You got to act, you know, and your faith is represented by your actions. So yeah, you definitely got to put in work, and it's difficult. Cause I mean, I have so many doubts. I have doubts all the time, man. Negative things telling me, nah, it's just whatever, you know, just not feeling it. But, man, I almost have things just like signs in my face, like telling me keep going, like literal things from the unseen world kind of telling me go, keep going. And it's like, I don't usually believe that kind of thing. I don't put my faith in the things that I see, because I know the things that I see sometimes are a distraction for me, you know? So it's almost like I have these, I think almost God made me kind of half blind for a reason, so that I don't use my sight, you know, because it's, you know, sometimes what you see and what you feel tells you something completely different than what the reality is and what you need to be doing. You know, there's a lot of distractions out there. So, yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, man.
That's part of working, right? So if you start working, you start doing things, you're going to get certain feedback from your work. You know what I mean? Like, and then it's going to me, it helps guide me. Like if I put out a video, right, and it does really well, and like, okay, well, that's a sign that that's a good video. That's responding to me. Like it's giving me feedback.
Right.
Like, okay, and I could follow that path. I can follow like, okay, maybe I should do more videos about that topic.
Yeah, exactly.
Just things like that.
Yeah, but, and I think I have a trouble sometimes taking those cues, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't know what to believe sometimes, but you know, just bit of faith and
you don't want to put your faith in the wrong thing, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Because at least that's how I kind of see, like, because we can be deceived just as much as we can like be led in the right direction, right?
Sure.
So you don't want to like put too much faith in the wrong thing and then you're like following that path and it's just a dead end, right? Yeah. You gotta be mindful enough to be like, okay, well that didn't work, or like take a step back from it, like, okay, sure, get on a different path.
Sure.
I don't know, I feel like this has got really philosophical or something.
that's cool though, because that's kind of the real me, and that's, you know, I'd like to be able to, you know, go off on these kinds of tangents and deep conversations and stuff on my channel. But again, I kind of have like I said, I don't catch the cues. I feel like something is telling me that would be my true purpose, to kind of do those kinds of things. But then again, I go back to feeling like I need to do what's gonna bring the audience in so that I can ultimately have the free time, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm still going through a struggle with that, you know? So like kind of the things that we're talking about, I go through the mentality that I feel obligated, not necessarily obligated, but I feel like I need to do those things because that's what's going to bring the return, rather than just trusting what the cues are that I, you know, what I should be doing.
Well, and, like, you know what I mean? Well, because it sounds like you have a goal, like there's not just a purpose like of what you're doing, but you have a goal. Like a kind of like a goal, you know what I mean? Like,
sure. I think I need to clarify it, because my goal, I mean, vaguely, my goal is to be able to create full time, make money from it, to create, because creating makes me feel good, makes me feel like I got a purpose, makes me feel calm, more at peace and all that. And I think the main goal is to be able to pursue that, and also to inspire people to pursue that. That's always been a big thing in my head, is to inspire people, you know, to motivate people. Because that's just what I'm trying to do for myself, is motivate and stay inspired and just be at peace, man.
I mean, that's going to give you a positive feedback loop. Like if you inspire people, like they can help inspire you, you know, it's a give and take.
And it's just in a give, like
it's really a give. Yeah.
Because I mean, if I inspire someone, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to turn around and give me something, but if they inspire someone else, that whole generation, we can pass things down, and those are the things that do get passed down, is those good things, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, so, you know, even if you're not like spiritual or not someone who talks about it, things like the golden rule still is passed down subconsciously, because that's a part of what's natural, you know what
I mean? Natural, like, right, like somebody help, like, oh, I got this help from somebody, just and you might not even realize it, but you'd be like, okay, I want to help somebody else now. Like somebody helped me change my tire today, so I just feel good. I got that help, so I want to help somebody else do something that they need help with. You know.
I think ultimately some good stuff like that inspires people to be good. You know, I mean, and it could go the other way. So we don't want to promote
the other way.
Right. We don't want to promote the other stuff. You know. So
yeah, it's still what you focus on. You know.
Yeah. Definitely.
Clarifying. That's kind of what I want to do with my EP, right? Like clarify my purpose of the EP. Like, okay, I got a purpose and I got a goal. Like, you know, part of my purpose is I do want to make a song with lyrics on it. I don't want to just make an instrumental. I want to at least put one song on the EP that has got lyrics on it. And, and because like there's certain days where it's like, man, I don't know what to listen to. Like nothing I want to listen to like really is going to like get me motivated. Like I want to make a song that motivates me. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. Like overall, it's like, and I've heard it say, and it makes much sense. It's like create the content, create the art you want to see that you wish you could see. And that's what it's about, like doing the stuff that isn't there. That's filling the void, which is you, man. You belong.
Right.
Like, we all belong. We all, I mean, right. It's about expressing yourself, you know?
Express, right.
Expression. That's why I love music so much. Yeah. I've never been like a talkative person. Always, you know, few words, kind of quiet. And I think music has always been that outlet. And that's why I love to write. I've always been decent at writing and stuff. So, yeah, I think we're all just trying to find our way back, you know, to what it is that's natural. So that's what, you know, that's what it's really about. Yeah. Flipping our own situation and making it something, you know, overcome. That's what it is. I mean, we all go through stuff that's like tough and difficult. It's just like about how we take that and flip it, you know, make lemons and lemonade, take this piece of vinyl and turn it into something that you know, defines who, what I'm feeling, what I'm doing. And, you know, I think we need more. I think we need more of that. And I think it's great that we live in a time where we all have the tools available that we can. We don't got to rely on these labels and stuff. And like I grew up in this mentality of like, and I think it's true just all around that art isn't as valuable as, you know, other things that are technically more practical, you know. It's just but I think there's so much value in that. And that's a really toxic way of thinking in this world. Like everything deserves its place and its purpose, and it's all equal, but it all has its time and its place. And, you know, people should be able to do, to unashamed, you know, not shamefully, or what's the word? People should be able to pursue what it is they feel, without outside voices and mentalities and environments that suggest that what they're feeling isn't of value. You know what I mean?
Well, exactly. And that's very important to me as well, because we all have the right to express whatever it is going on. We have that right. And it doesn't matter. Like, everything matters. Even the negative, positive stuff that comes in matters. But it's like, to get to the point to where you feel okay, where you can express that and be okay with it. That's like, to me, that's the point where I want to get. It's like, I want to express myself. And if I'm expressing it as true as I can be in that moment, then that's what it is in that moment. I shouldn't have to feel guilty for it. Or it's valuable.
Yeah. Dad, do you feel that way? Have you felt that way? Like, that's the world, or is it my perspective?
No, it's definitely...
It's not just thing. My perspective. Yeah.
It's just that's been taught. Like, art, like, even if you look at school, right? Like, arts are getting cut out of like public schools. Like, there's less music classes. Like, they cut out guitar. When I was in high school, they cut out like guitar class, and they cut out these different classes because there's no funding for it, because it's, I guess it's deemed not important, right? As important as economics or history and stuff like this. But I think I actually think music is kind of intertwined in history and economics and these things. Like, it could reflect what's actually happening in economic situation and what's happening during that time in history. And and I think it's all, like you're saying, interconnected. So I think it's just as important. But there's like this mentality. It's like, well, and I get it to an extent. Like, I understand it to an extent. Like, you can't just quit your job and then, like, I'm going to be an artist now. And then, like, think you're just going to magically support yourself by making whatever art you want. But you should still be able to follow your passion. You should be encouraged to follow that if that's what you want to do. If you want to make music, you should be able to make music.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't feel guilty about it.
Sure. Yeah, I think our world needs to evolve a little bit more in that regard, as far as raising our children and education, like you said, because it's just more. I mean, I think this is the age, this is the time where we're going to demonstrate that. Hopefully the tools that we have right now don't just disappear. And we all still have the ability to express ourselves. And I mean, YouTube, we all can freely.
It's beautiful.
I mean, you just sign up for free and then just post what you want. The world can see it. And then if you use these best practices, you're going to be seen a little bit better. So there's a little bit of learning the game and stuff.
There's learn. See, that's the thing, though. There's you got to learn the, there's certain guidelines. Like that being said, like there's guidelines you could follow. Like, obviously, you can't speak, do like if you want to express hate speech on YouTube, right? That's not going to fly. Like, there's certain things, like there's censorship to an extent.
Right.
Yeah,
but, there is.
But if you're educating, right? If you have an education and you're expressing in a way that's true, I don't know. Because it comes to art. Like, what can you express? What can't you express? Because there's extremes.
Yeah.
And true. It's some of it's going to get censored, but we still have a large degree of freedom of speech and freedom of just expression. Yeah. And, you know,
I mean, we at least have a freedom to create, right?
Yes.
I mean, I think as long as you're creating, that's better than destroying something. So, I mean, yeah, it's too bad. I hear what you're saying. We don't want hate speech or negative stuff, but maybe the reason those kind of energies exist is because we're not there are hindrances to be able to express ourselves, and not everyone knows how to express themselves, and we're not given the tools. Maybe that's one thing we don't educate our children on, is how to express themselves, you know. Maybe because of art, maybe because those things aren't there. There's lots of things that are left out. One thing that sticks out in my mind is I don't know anything about money. Like, I've never balanced a checkbook in my life. And, you know, I'm right now I'm educating myself the best I can on many topics. You know, I go on Audible, download books and listen to stuff. I'm listening to Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and him say about how economic literacy, I think that's the word he uses, or financial literacy isn't taught. Like, there's none of that in school. Like, there's no preparation to be an adult, you know? You think when you're a kid, you think you get all these freedoms when you're an adult, but oh shoot, it's like all these other responsibilities, and then, you know, you get in debt. Like, I mean, you can have a lot of money and still be in debt, you know? Yeah, there's a lot of things we don't teach out there that we need to, in this whole thing, living in America, I think, because speaking about spirituality, one thing that's important to me is I think the whole religious freedom thing is great. Right.
It's amazing,
so we can have a conversation. But the problem is with that is it just seems like there's just an indifference rather in like a taboo-ness. It's like, well, if there's a freedom, why aren't we talking about this? Why aren't we teaching this? Is it going over crossing the line to be like, let's learn about these different cultures and religions within school? I don't know. It's taboo. I know it's taboo, but like, there's just so many other things.
Because as much freedom as you have, I get a feeling, right? Like, you talk about certain things, I'll get a feeling like, oh, we can't talk about that, right? We can't talk about certain things. We can't talk about this religion or this religion in a fair way.
Yeah.
Like, there's like a certain feeling, like, but it's like, and it goes with a lot of topics that there's like a nasty feeling I get. Like,
You don't want to offend or like it's
exactly
right. There's just the taboos that come with it. But I think that's just from not having an open conversation. I mean, you have an opinion, it's difficult to, you know, sometimes receive someone else's opinion that's opposing yours and just receive it. And we're going on to some other stuff.
Yeah, that's a whole another world. I like, this is the most, I don't know how to say it, but this is the freest conversation I've had.
Yeah.
On record.
On record.
I don't know, like in public, like people might see this, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, as it's up to you what they see, right?
yeah. And the thing is, I think these are good things to talk about, but like, how many people? And then it's like, well, how many people are going to unsubscribe because they heard what's talking about freedom of speech, or like, it's like there's certain things like, oh, this isn't about music. Are they going to unsubscribe or like?
Right, I understand, man. I'm support whatever direction you want to do, man. No. This is just a conversation between me and you. I'm fine with that too, brother. But that's cool. Like, it's just good to have a conversation. You don't get to have deeper conversations on a regular day basis, you know. Mm-hmm. Just very few people, mm-hmm. you know. So small talk is usually what the day is filled with. Hey, how you doing? Awesome. Yeah, this is, yeah, we can leave it. We can leave out whatever, man. We just talk, bro. That's not.
Yeah, I don't
know. If this never sees the day of light, you know, it's fine with me.
Yeah. We'll see. I'll look at it. Maybe it's terrible. Yeah. Maybe it's great. I don't know. I kind of like it, though. I kind of like that we could talk about it. Like, there's enough common ground to kind of speak about things, but not like I'm not offended. I don't think you're offended, so.
No, not at all. I don't get offended easy. I like, you know, I have an open mind about things, and I mean, I have a real desire to have more conversations or even like use my channel in this type of way to talk about these things. But I guess there's some uncertainty, like you said. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know like where that's leading. It's just, I think there's a tendency. I think I draw on these kind of conversations. Maybe I subtly bring up these kinds of things, but when I do have, I don't know. It's just important stuff to me. So, you know. So, like, ultimately, creating the music to me is about expressing these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that'd be my, I think, if anything, contribution. If you've heard any of, like, the rhymes, like, the poetry that I'm speaking on, it's this kind of stuff, you know?
For sure.
Yeah. And I think that's always been kind of also like I've lacked the confidence in order to do it, because it's also in the same thing that you're saying is like, who wants to hear this? It's not the popular stuff, you know? Right. But to me, it's important. Like, I don't want to do it otherwise. Like, I'm not, like, if I'm rapping, and like I like to call it poetry, if I'm rapping, it's not going to be about myself necessarily. It can be through my eyes and my experience, but it's definitely not what's popular, common, ego driven kind of music. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm very aware of my ego, and while I know it's human and I'm just as imperfect as everyone else, my music is more about trying to get over that. I think that's ultimately what I want to express is my struggle is
right.
Portraying the human struggle of this spirit and trying to overcome the self and come back to what's really real.
And that's part of the stuff that I'm struggling with, because I would probably kind of scope lyrics in a similar fashion. Like, I would speak about, you know, real topics to me, and not necessarily I wouldn't sculpt something to just be popular. Like, I would sculpt something that I want to express, and then, you know, is that expression going to be accepted? There's like certain internal dialogue type of things. Yeah. It's like, am I okay to express this? And then even like we're getting pretty real right now, like in my head, like, and it's good. It's like just stuff I think about. It's like, because when I make music, I'm not like, I'm going to make this kind of genre of music. I'm not going to make this kind of genre. I'm just like, I want to make music. I just want to make it. If it sounds cool, cool. If I express something cool, right? And then if I like it at the end of the day, then that should be what matters, because it's a real expression of what I like. But then there's like this uncertainty in me, because I listen to, you know, like my first instrument was violin, right? So I listened to classical music. I listened to rock music. You know, I played guitar in bands. I listened to hip hop music. I listened to, you know, country music, like gospel music, like all these different blues. You know, I have so many influences. So if I make something, it's probably going to be like a mesh of all of the influences, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And I might sing a certain way or like say a certain thing. And like, is that going to offend somebody if I speak a certain way? Like, am I going to get criticized for that?
Right. I think we're putting ourselves in the position where no matter what, so someone's going to criticize, or you're not, everyone's going to receive it. Someone's going to hate it, you know? So we got to accept that. I think any artist has to accept that if you're going to put yourself out there. Otherwise, you can just...
Well, absolutely.
I think that's probably one of the big blocks that gets people from ever sharing their stuff is like, are people going to like this? What are they going to say? You know, will I be able to handle the criticism? I think no matter what, and you saying it, like no matter what, someone's going to receive it. And like you said, you have the freedom to do whatever you want. And mom, it may not be popular and won't be received like on a massive scale because you're maybe talking about specific things. It'll be received by somebody, right? Someone will get some kind of benefit because you're a human being and your experiences are relatable. As long as you're being true to those experiences, someone's going to receive it. So ultimately, if you do have the freedom and you're, you know, you're already making income here, and like you said, you can just create whatever you want. It's not according to what a label says. And I think you have some peace in knowing that you can. And ultimately, that'll be more beneficial to someone than you trying to like make some kind of cookie cutter thing that is going to get a bunch of people. And ultimately, that doesn't fill you with purpose if you like try to do something that isn't really true to yourself, right? Because it's really about getting yourself out. I think that's where the ultimate peace is, right? Fulfillment, contentment is really being able to, So, I think this has been therapeutic to have this conversation because, you know, I don't know, it's just helpful. Because I had the same struggles. I think a lot of people probably have the same struggles. And this will probably do fine. This will probably do great because people will be able to relate
to that same. And if I don't put it out there, how do I know? Like if you don't put music out there, if you wrote something and it's like, oh, this is what I want to express. If you don't release it, how do you know if it's going to help somebody or just like ring true with somebody or you know, if you don't release it? And like I was saying earlier, like I feel like it's like we're all on a journey. Like me, like I was saying, like me, you, like any artist, but we happen to have a platform where we could talk, like YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. We have this place where we could talk about things and connect on like with people that are like in different parts of the country, different parts of the earth, you know? And we have that like. We have that ability to communicate. Like it's beneficial, like for me to talk about this because in my area, right? Like my family doesn't understand this, doesn't understand like what I'm thinking about. But you seem to have like some kind of comprehension of some of these ideas that I have. You know what I mean? And you could speak on it. Like if I say this to somebody to get it off my chest, it might just be me speaking it, but then I get no feedback.
Right. Maybe. I don't know, maybe it's something that just creatives, more creative people kind of lean to have the mentality about. Yeah. Also because it's just like we were talking about earlier, like just the struggle of art and creative things to have, to be seen as having as much value. So it's like, whatever, just go draw a picture. Shut up.
And like, that's well, see, and that's the thing you were talking about, like it's kind of like therapeutic just to be able to make music.
Yeah,
a little bit like
the process. We can't forget the process.
That's what I'm saying. The process of like getting in there and like when to me like there's a like a moment like I heard some artists talk about the flow. It's like you're in a creative flow. And when you're in there, it's just the like you're doing the process. And it's like you're almost on a different. You're like you're in a different state of mind.
Yeah.
When you're creating something.
Yeah.
And I know this is true for like artists too, like painters, because I have a friend who's a painter and he just, when he's in that process, he's in it. Like he's not thinking about time or nothing. You know what I mean? Like he's not like, oh, I gotta eat in 15 minutes. Like when he's in that moment, you know?
Oh
like,
yeah. I forget to eat most times. Yeah, it's like, what? Oh shit. But yeah, I mean, you've heard it said, it's about the process. It's the journey, not the destination. Like it's so those things that sound cliche that are so true, you know. It's like ultimately the process is therapeutic. Once you're done and you have a result, like that's almost not as even, it's not even the prize. I mean, you can look back and then it's a memory. It's like a photograph of what the process, like you, and it's an enjoyment because it's a memory of what the process, the feeling was. Yeah. You know, so the prize is in the process. And that ultimately, I think that's how people find success. Like in anything that they do, if you're going to stay consistent, consistency is the actual process. It's not necessarily the end product because there is no end.
Yes.
If there's an end, how can you continue to be consistent? Like it goes with most things. Like even if you're like, if you're trying to get fit, you get in the gym and you're always focused on the results, you're going to get discouraged instead of like enjoying the results that are coming immediately from the way you feel. So the end game is to get to a point where the process is sustainable, because the process, I guess, in a way, is the gold. It's the prize, you know.
If you could find a way to like combine your YouTube channel with like the process, like merge the worlds, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. How do you feel you're doing with that? Because I know you do vlogs as well. Yeah, it's difficult to kind of like, I don't know. That's what I ultimately want to do, is just blend everything that I do into like a vlog tutorial experience kind of thing. So it has every element and I can just streamline it into one thing, and I don't have to like decide whether I'm going to do this kind of video or that kind of video. It's all just one, you know?
Yeah. You know, who's
how
pretty
do you
good,
present that though?
Pretty yeah. good about doing vlog and tutorial type videos. That I've watched a few of his videos is Ed Talente. I don't know if you ever saw
him. Oh yeah. I love Ed Talente. I haven't seen much in a while, but yeah, man. Yeah, he's come a long way. He does great stuff. I really do like that. He does do that. Now that I think about it, he does blend it all kind of together. Yeah, man. I appreciate this, man. It was a cool little chat with you, man. So,
yeah,
I
man.
Don't know. Maybe we can hold a little accountability on each other. I'll just like. For sure. Throw you a little jab. Hey, what's going on? You know?
That's what's up, man. So just want to ask, if you want people want to follow you, I mean your handle on the different social media is Lifted Noise, right?
Yeah, it's just Lifted Noise across all my social media streams. I'm mainly, I would say, YouTube is first, Instagram on there a little bit. Let me see what else. I like Twitter, but I'm not super first in Twitter. I don't go on there active and do too much, but it's one of my preferred kind of like outlets to go just kind of check stuff out and stuff. That's pretty much it. I'm on TikTok. Don't do much over there, but yeah, Lifted Noise across everything.
So. Lifted Noise. And then you said you don't have anything out like music wise on Spotify or anything?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, that's the goal. But the EP.
You said you don't really sell beats or anything, do you?
I don't sell beats. No, working towards making some packs, and then I'm on Patreon as well. If you guys want
to,
yeah. So if you're an MPC user, you know, I create packs over there with like drum samples and a couple loops and key groups, that kind of thing.
Right on. Sounds good, man. So I think I think we covered a lot in this conversation. We could always pick something up later on if you want, but.
Yeah, for sure.
I think we covered a lot, man. I think this has been a good conversation.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
And we can have this conversation anytime if you like, man. It doesn't have to go on record. So, you know,
okay,
no expectations.
Sounds good, man. All right. So I think we're going to wrap it up. Is there anything else you want to say before we get off of here? Anything you want to tell anybody?
Just in general, like whatever it is that you want to do, pursue it. Stay positive and make the best out of your situation, man. Like the most cliche things, like make lemonade out of lemons. Enjoy the process, not about the journey. All those cliche things that may sound corny, use it as motivation because it's real, you know? So just do your thing, have a little bit of faith, and just commit to your action without any expectation of the fruit, and you'll enjoy the process. So that's it. Stay humble with noise. God bless everyone.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate you for being on. Again, I'll leave a link in the description of this video if you do want to check out like the audio version of this, or if you're listening to the audio version, I'll leave a link to the video version if you want to check out the video version, because I am going to release this as an audio and video version, whatever you like to listen to. I appreciate you for watching, and hey, continue creating music. We'll talk soon, y'all.